Thanks for joining us today. We want to hear how God is using our ministry to make a difference in your life today. Send your story to mystory@oceansunite.com. And we also want to say that if you are encouraged and you want to partner with our ministry, go to oceansunite.com, select the giving option that best suits you. And we want to thank you for your participation, and we want to bless you.
So it's very interesting that one thing that I've seen over the years, speaking to young people, speaking to older people, speaking to people that have had encounters with God, and especially speaking to people that, you know, you really identify that God wants to use this individual. And I've seen many, many times with people like that, that they have a dream that is very similar in nature. And what this dream normally encompasses is a dream about climbing a mountain. And it's very interesting that Moses, in order to get to the presence of God, to get to the glory, to get into the presence, he had to climb a mountain. And we see even with Isaac, and we see the same thing, that he had to climb a mountain and for the sacrifice. But always that there's a mountain involved so often. I have had dreams of having to climb a mountain and get to the top of the mountain. And oftentimes in the mountain, in the dream, the mountain is not easy to climb. Amen. And this scripture is very powerful. Psalm 24, let's go there. Psalm 24, verse number 1. Psalm 24, verse number 1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. What I want to focus on here is getting to the top of the hill, or ascending the mountain of the hill, requires us to have clean hands, a pure heart. If you are someone who desires to get into the presence of God, to be used by God, it requires a heart condition in order for you to get to that place. Is that okay? So my sermon is not about climbing the mountain. Amen. My sermon is about something else this morning. But to set the stage, I want to show you something. When we start with the Lord, or when we begin to become hungry for God to use us, we'll do anything to get to the top of the mountain. We'll do anything to ascend that hill. We'll do anything for God to use us. We'll do whatever it takes. Can somebody say amen? I don't know about you, but when I was a young believer, that's what I wanted more than anything. Just, you know, I saw God move. I saw God do things. I just wanted that in my life so desperately. And when they said that you just need to get close to him, then that's what I wanted to do. So I'd go and pray and spend time with God and do whatever I could to be in his presence so that I could ascend the hill of the Lord. Amen. And then I had a dream, and in the dream it was so powerful, and I woke up and the presence of God was all over me. And one morning when I was praying, the Lord encountered me so powerfully in my room, I'll never forget it. But in your journey as a believer, you will never lose the gifts that God gives you. You'll be able to minister. You'll be able to be used by him. Unfortunately, sometimes the enemy will get the better of you. Condemnation comes in. You might slip, and you may think that God's not with you anymore. But the reality is that when God gifts you, that gift is there. Very seldom will he take it away. In fact, the Bible says that the gifts and the calls are without replenish. He takes them. He doesn't take them away. They stay with you. But there's something that does happen to you. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. Let's go together in the Bible to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. I started my sermon the way I planned to end it. Now, verse number one. This psalm, early in the week just grabbed me, and I felt I needed to minister to the church. And it just really got my heart. It just stirred my heart up. It says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Now I want to stop right there. Because in the beginning of our walks with God, it's the desire to get to the top of the mountain, to get to the presence of God, to get to a place where that relationship starts to increase, that is so awesome and not easy, but kind of not, it's just, you know, it happens. But what I want to talk about is staying there. Not for your giftings, but for you. Because I know, I have seen that when my heart isn't right, I can come to church and minister and God will move. But in my room, there will be no presence. So I want to talk to you this morning, not about your gifts, but about the ability to stay on the hill of the Lord. Because it's the desire to get there. But some of us lose our way with staying there. And what do we need to do to stay there? Are you guys okay? Are you ready? Let's go on this journey together this morning. Amen. God is so good. And His Word has all the answers that we need to get us from point A to point B to the finish line. Amen. And He wants you to walk with Him. He wants to have intimacy with you. Yes, He wants you to save the whole world, but He also wants to save you because He loves you. He cares about you. And so it's all great and fine and well that we have gifts and we desire gifts and we must do all that. But God is also interested in your soul, in your peace, in your joy, in the love in your heart. Is that okay, guys? So let's take a look at it. So verse number one, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? In other words, who may stay in that place? Now watch. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Now I studied this very, very in depth in the Hebrew. And he who walks upright is a person who walks with integrity, a blameless person. Now, here's the key, is that you must remember when David preached this, it was before the dispensation of grace. But our heart never must never change. And I'll show you even something that he says that's so powerful. Because when it speaks of uprightly in the Hebrew, it actually also speaks of guilt-free. Even back then. So in other words, to be upright is to walk in a condition of righteousness, of desiring to do the right thing, of to walk right, but also to walk guilt-free. So the good news for us is that Jesus died on the cross for us so that He could take away our guilt, so that He could take away our shame. But you must never lose sight of the fact that God desires for us to walk uprightly. So we must walk in integrity. Our yes must be yes, our no must be no. Amen. We must become blameless, but also guilt-free more than anything else. Because if you have guilt on you and shame on you, you will struggle to stay on His holy hill. Works righteousness. In other words, it's practices. Someone who practices what is correct. Remember that we have been made righteous because of the blood of the Lamb. So we now are righteous in Christ, but we must still work righteousness. Is that okay? We must also seek His righteousness. So we long to be righteous. We long to seek after Him. But recognizing, even when we achieve something, that it's only by grace. Oh, I managed to overcome a sin that I struggled with for so many years. Let me tell you something. It is by grace that you overcame that sin. So don't boast in your righteousness, because your righteousness is like filthy rags. The only thing that makes us righteous is the blood of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that makes us righteous. Thank you, Lord, that we can get up regardless of what we've done. The thing is, is the problem is as you walk and as you go through life, yes, you get up and yes, His righteousness is there, but you have to continue to protect your heart. And that's the next thing. Works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. The Bible says that the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. I've come to realize I can't fool him. There's nowhere to hide. So I can't go to God and say, well, you know, God, you know, I think I was okay there. I think what I did was okay. I know it wasn't okay. But you know, maybe I'll persuade you. Instead of going to God in truth, with truth in my mouth, in my heart, I cannot even express, guys, how God has been working on me. With everything that comes out of my mouth. And the more He works on my heart regarding this, the harder it is to control myself. Am I the only one? I can't even tell you how difficult it's becoming. I don't want to speak anymore. Because I want so desperately to walk in truth, to speak in truth. He who speaks truth in his heart, in other words, it actually speaks of not even speaking out loud, but rather in your room and when you're praying, and it's the internal dialogue that's taking place on the inside of you. In other words, don't lie to yourself. Don't convince yourself, well, you know, maybe God's word actually says this to make you feel better. Amen. The truth will set you free. Amen. The truth will set us free. It's His truth. It's the truth of His word that will give us grace. And just it comes in and it brings so much healing. Man. Let's read the next verse. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. We can go on for hours on this first one. He who does not backbite with his tongue. Backbite means to slander or to speak against or to speak evil against a person or of a person. The reality is that death and life is in the power of the tongue. This thing, we have to get control over our own tongues, and we have to be so careful, because oftentimes we'll speak, and the Bible says that when you speak, it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you're doing when you're speaking is revealing the condition of your heart. And I tell you the truth, before the Lord, sometimes I'm petrified of what's coming out of my mouth. Maybe you're perfect, but I'm not. I am a work in progress. And I'm so aware of it. I'm becoming so aware. And it comes directly from my heart. And we must refrain from speaking evil against each other, against your brothers and your sisters. Listen, you may not like them, but they're going to spend eternity with you. God will put you on the same street as the guy you didn't like the most. Maybe. And every morning you'll come out and do whatever it was that aggravate. No, in heaven there's only joy and peace, you know, amen. So that won't happen to you, praise God, amen. But the fact of the matter is that we have to protect our hearts by guarding our tongues, because that is the very thing I can tell you right now that will cause you to come down that mountain so quickly. nor does evil to his neighbor. What it really says there is to bring misfortune or calamity or disaster or wickedness against someone. You see, I've always had this theory. My theory might be changing a little bit, but I've always had this theory that when you hurt yourself, it's bad. But when you become malicious against someone else, that's really bad. You see, when you come against yourself, you're being foolish, but God is so gracious towards us. But when we become malicious towards other people and want to cause them harm and want to bring them down and want to hurt them and want to correct them and want to always just break them down, that's a wicked way to be towards someone. And you can take that a whole step further. You can literally destroy somebody in their business, in their finances, with their family, their integrity. And it's our responsibility, if you desire to stay on His holy hill, if you desire to abide in His presence and stay in His presence, not only in church. Listen, you can come to church. There's a corporate anointing here. You will feel the presence of God in this place. But let me ask you a question. When you go home, is His presence in your house? Is His presence in your home? When you close your door, is the presence of God there? Or is it more like hell at home? Because if it's like hell at home, something needs to change. Something must change. And stop looking at your husband and stop looking at your wife, because you're the one that needs to take the initiative. You're the one that needs to say, I'm going to ascend the hill of the Lord. I'm going to go up, God. I'm going to go up with a pure heart. I'm going to go up in truth, Lord. I'm going to come up before you. And those things, I'm going to guard over my mouth, Father. I'm going to protect my heart, Lord. I'm going to go up because I need your presence. You see, here's the problem, is that we can come in and have a touch and an encounter, but nothing changes unless it begins on the inside of us. And listen, I'm preaching to myself. It's just like God to give me the scripture. Oh God, give me a word. Oh no. You know, thank God for God. It's actually funny because I wrote this. I'm going to read it to you. Nor does evil with his neighbor behave. That was a mistake, but maybe I needed to read it. Amen. Nor does he take up reproach against his friends. In other words, to disgrace or bring shame. Really very much the same as what I've just shared with you. And this is important. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not charge. This is all regarding a person who can remain, who can stay in his holy hill, in his temple. Is that okay? In whose eyes a vile person is despised. Really, in the language, what it's trying to say is, and he is basically trying to say that he's against when someone is trying to call something that is good, bad, or bad, good, really bad, good. And what it says in Psalm 97, verse number 10 is, you who love the Lord hate evil. It's not so much the person, but more, we do not agree with evil. We do not call those things that are good or that are evil, good. Is that okay, guys? So that's what it's really trying to say in the language. And I've read many commentaries, and most of the commentators agree that what David is trying to say is, he's trying to say that you cannot say to someone that it's okay, that is good. No, it isn't. If it's bad, it's bad. We call it bad. If it's evil, it's evil. We call it evil. In this world today, I am amazed at how people just call everything good. You cannot stay on the holy hill of God, if you will begin to accept those things that are evil as though they are good. It says this. It says, but he honors those who fear the Lord. Never ever look down or judgmentally towards a person who fears God. Someone who honors the Lord. Someone who respects God, who desires to please the Master. Don't ever look at them and criticize and point a finger and speak evil of them, for you will not dwell on the hill of the Lord. You will not stay in His temple if you do that. How is it that we could possibly do that? If someone is striving and seeking God and desiring to please the Lord and desiring and fears God and honors God and has that reverence for the Lord, how is it that we could ever point a finger and say, oh, but he's this and he's that and he's trying to do this, whatever. If I see someone who is hungry for God, who fears the Lord and honors the Lord and respects the Lord, honor and respect is something that has been lost. Young people calling their parents by their name. Honor has been lost. Reverence, fear. Listen, I feared my father as a child in a reverent way. Not afraid of him. I love my father. I'm talking about my real dad now. I was blessed. I had a good father. I was very blessed. I still do. He'll be here in the second service. Amen. I won't say this when he's here. So this is only for you guys. But it's so important for us. And what the psalmist, what David is saying, is that never look down upon someone who fears the Lord. In fact, maybe we should take his example a little bit more to heart. Amen? Are you guys okay? I'm almost done. He honors those who fear the Lord. Verse number 5. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. The scholars suggest that David is saying that this scripture is not necessarily saying that you can't charge interest from a loan, but rather when there is a rich person who is taking advantage of a poor person instead of helping them. Or basically, if you're in a position and you're in a good position, you literally take advantage of someone more less fortunate than yourself. Is that okay? In other words, when someone's down, don't kick them. Don't trample on them. We're supposed to love each other. And when someone is down and out, don't try to make them more down and out. Is that okay? Amen. I'm going to read the whole scripture again, and then I'm going to come to the last verse. So, excuse me, it's because I had completely moved everything around this morning. Can you put the scripture up to me, Psalm 15, from the beginning, please? Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Next verse. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Next verse. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall not be moved. In other words, if you seek God, if you fear the Lord, if you go after him, if you watch your tongue, if you watch your heart, if you do these things that this scripture says, it says this, that you will not be moved. Moved from where? From the heel of the Lord. You will not be moved from his presence. And let me tell you something. You can be used all you like, but to not have his presence in your life, for me, would be like hell on earth. Because I need his presence. I need his spirit. I need him. And so many of us can slip up in any of those areas. And the reality is that we probably all do. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. But remember, church, the Bible says that whatever you sow, you will reap. And it says that that is a principle that will be there forever. Listen, forever means forever. Not until the dispensation of grace. In other words, whatever goes on in your heart, if not dealt with, will cause a harvest to come. That harvest might be plentiful, but the tares will be there if you don't deal with your heart. And that means that all these things that prevent us from staying on the hill of the Lord must be dealt with in our hearts in order for us to stay there. Or eventually, it will manifest in your life. It will affect you. It will hurt your relationship with God. And I don't want to see you suffer like that. Is that okay? I want to see you walking in his presence, walking with God, because he's so good. He's so wonderful. Listen, it's not about your calling right now. It's not about your destiny or your purpose in this moment. Right now, the most important thing in your life at this moment, in this teaching, in this time, and God is speaking very clearly to me and to you, and he's saying, I'm interested in you. I want your heart. I want you. I love you. Your destiny and all that stuff is great and so important, but I have good thoughts towards you. I care about you. I want to love you. I want to protect you. I want you to have joy and peace and goodness and kindness and faithfulness. I want it to be a part of you, and I want to flood you with my presence. I want you to ascend the hill of the Lord, and I want you to dwell in my presence like Moses dwelled in my presence. To walk in the glory of God as my son walked in my glory. And Father, this morning in this place, we come before you. And Father, we have spoken evil. We have thought bad things. We've done all these things. Lord, we are guilty. But because of your son, because of the blood of Jesus, forgiveness and mercy and grace is there. But Lord, let us deal with our hearts, Father. Let us deal with what lies bare on the inside of our hearts, Father. Lord, change our hearts this morning in this place, oh God. Father, I think I'm finally finished speaking about the heart. And then you show me more, because you show me what's in my own heart, oh God. And Father, I must present this word to your church this morning. I must present this word, Father, because every single individual in this place is so important to you. Yes, every hair on your head, he knows you by name. He knew you long before you were even born, and you matter to him. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you will give us grace, that you will give us mercy, that you will flood us once again with your presence, oh God. Let us ascend the hill of the Lord this morning. Let us stay on your holy hill, O God. Let us dwell in your tabernacle, O God. Let us abide in your presence this morning, Father. Lord, once again, I lift my hands. I lift my heart to you, Father. And if you want to do the same, you can do the same. If you want to stand, you can stand. Father, this morning in this place, just touch our hearts, Lord. Just mend our hearts, Father. Mend our spirits, our souls, oh God. Make us whole once again, Father. Lord, as we ascend to where you are. And we want to stay. And as David said in the last verse of that psalm, that we will not be moved. And so I pray that for every person in this place this morning, that we will not be moved, Father. We will not be moved. And your presence is here right now. You are here right now. And you're bringing healing to the hearts of those who humble themselves before you in this moment. I need you, God. We need you. We need your love. We need your presence. We can't do it without you. We don't want to do it without you. Your gifts and your callings are great. But we need you. We love you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and touch your people. They are your people that you love. I cannot love them like you do. Fill them now. Touch them now. If you've never given your life to Him, give it to Him now. Because He loves you so much. He is such a good God. He is such a kind God. He is such a merciful God. And He paid it all in full on that cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I pray even in this moment, Father, as your presence is in this room, that you will bring peace to the heart, to the mind, to the soul, Father, to those who need peace, that you will bring restoration, Father. For you are the God of restoration. You are the God of revival. You are the God of love and peace and joy. These are the qualities of the Spirit. And so this morning in this place, we are just so thankful. Father, now I pray for every person in this place this morning, that they will leave here and the yoke will be broken and lifted. And Father, when they walk into their homes, they will change the atmosphere in their house, Lord. Once again, they will go into their secret place and they will experience your grace, your love, your presence like never before. Father, you are so good to us. You are so wonderful. We thank you and we love you. I pray right now that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and that the communion with the Spirit be with every one of you as you leave this place today. This is a new year. It's a new beginning. It's a new day. And we are stepping into a new season. And so all things are new, even in the natural, so it shall be in the spiritual, says the Lord. And in the days that lie ahead, there will not only be restoration, but you will not only ascend the hill of the Lord, but you will dwell in my secret place, on my holy hill, in my tabernacle. You will abide in my presence. And so we give you thanks, Father. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with every one of these as they go their way today. We thank you. We love you. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. God keep you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Sunday. We will see you tonight or we will see you next week. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We hope that this message has inspired you in so many ways. If you would like to support our ministry, or if you would like more messages, you can find that at www.oceansunite.com. Once again, we are so excited to have you as a part of the family. Have a wonderful day.